Okay. This is the Bulacek's, the Czech in Belgrade. Just yesterday, I met Mr. Ali, an Iranian ambassador in Belgrade. I have helped his daughter before in one situation, so he thanked me and offered me his services. He also offered to take me and David, that's his son, home in his Iranian ambassador car. I was able to share with him that I'm a Christian pastor and missionary. I pray I will be able to meet with him again and bring him the gospel and Bible and Farsi as he asked me to contact him again. We have a wonderful God. Jesus is the way. Please pray we may reach him with the gospel of grace. So you can put that on the prayer request, David, for the end, for Mr. Ali. And then another one, I don't know if you, let me see, if you remember him, Lennon. He came here a while back. Let's see. Did I show you all the pictures? I think I missed the team. Oh, there's the team picture. I can't see very good. There's Lennon right there. You guys remember him? He came and visited. He said, hi, we did a mission trip as a... He sent this a couple weeks ago, but we did a mission trip as a team to Odisha for a week recently. We saw God's work there working in simple people like us. We have 25 churches there in different interior villages along with mission training center, children's ministry, and widows ministry. Notice all the young people on the team? That's what you need for children's ministry. No. Some people with energy. But yeah. More than 30 pastors are serving and 10-plus students are doing full-time Bible college. Rayagada is the home base and churches have been planted in different districts of Odisha. We visited Kandamal and Kalahandi districts. There's Rayagada. There's Kandamal. And I guess that's it. No Kalahandi districts. But anyway, Kandamal had big Christian persecution in 2008 in which 60,000 Christians were affected. 400 churches and Christian institutions were burnt down. Today, there are many churches in this place. You know, when we think of persecution, we normally think of Pakistan, North Korea, and now North Nigeria, right? But it's going on in northern India, too. In Kalahandi, we had around 250 to 300 tribal people from different mountainous villages come and hear the word and fellowship with us. Though there are restrictions to share the gospel with people, God is doing his work. So that's a great testimony, right? God is doing his work. Whatever Satan tries to do, even in North Korea, where they will put you in a prison camp so hard, and they might even kill your family members if you try to escape or do something, God's still doing his work. So blind Bartimaeus met Mark 10:46. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples in a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Have you ever, like as believers, even maybe you can remember as an unbeliever, you heard and then you believed. But even as believers, you're like familiar with the world, familiar with just everyday life, even familiar with church sometimes. You might be sitting in church just daydreaming, looking at the flowers and thinking about lunch. And then all of a sudden you hear something. And it's the Holy Spirit, and you heard that Jesus is here, and he's here, you know. And blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus. And he obviously had heard that Jesus had healed others, right? And he obviously believed, at least a little bit, that Jesus could heal him. And like Zacchaeus, he couldn't see Jesus, but he heard about Jesus. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Let me back up. Let's have mercy on me. if he had never heard, if he had never heard maybe that Jesus was the anointed one, or that Jesus had healed others, or anything about Jesus before, he probably wouldn't have cried out for him to have mercy on him. Remember the story of Rahab? She had heard. She had never even met a Jewish person, but she had heard. And she had faith, and she's in Hebrews 11 under a hero of faith. That's why she believed, because she had heard. And so the blind person can say, I'm so helpless. I'm so helpless. I can't do anything for myself. I'll trip and fall. I'm blind. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes, actually, I think when we feel like that, it's actually the Holy Spirit showing us. There's two ways. One's a conviction, and then one's a condemnation. The condemnation, not. But God will use it anyway, right? The condemnation isn't the Spirit. But God can use it anyway. And then there's the but. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet. So if I had whistled real loud, people might turn around, hey, what are you doing? Be quiet. Don't do that in church. But he cried out all the more. There's a difference between being rude and responding to the Holy Spirit too, right? Like, you could be loud and noisy in church, and somebody might be in the Spirit telling you to be quiet. They might be the right one. So just, but many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Stop talking like Jesus can help you. You know, that's what they were saying. You're disturbing. You're a blind beggar. Jesus doesn't want to help you. Maybe that's not what they were actually thinking, but that's what they were kind of, the point they were across. And this was brought out, I don't know whether it was Gian or Pastor Andrew, but it was brought out a little bit. These same people, the people told him to be quiet. The people also told the little children not to come, or the parents, not to bring the little children to Jesus. You know, this is Mark chapter 10:13. Then they brought little children to him. So somebody brought them, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought him. Now, these aren't just the crowd. These are the disciples. The disciples rebuked those who brought him them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For such is the kingdom of God. How are you not letting little kids come to him? If so, if we ever not let little kids come to him that are ready to come to him, then we need to change something, right? Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Now, the disciples, I was thinking about that. These were disciples that said this. And so it's one thing to have Christians and believers who are not really like wholeheartedly taking up their cross and walking with God. Like, it's one thing to have that. And it's another thing to have disciples tell you, don't bring the kids to Jesus. You know, what are they thinking? The disciples, that's us, by the way. That could be you and me. We could say that to somebody. We could say, hey, don't shout. You're disturbing people. You know, we could say something to somebody that's actually following God, like David dancing wildly, you know, took off his robe and danced like crazy. We could say something. And I was thinking too, we watched this movie, The Great Awakening. I know somebody recommended it to us, so I know they've seen it. But it's about like Revolutionary War and George Whitefield. And I hope the movie's historically accurate. It was a good movie, though. But George Whitefield was kicked out of England. You know, he was preaching to coal miners and poor people in a way that the Anglican priests didn't like. You know, let the poor people come to me. Let the little kids, there were kids too, you know, in the movie. I'm sure there were kids in real life. And he was preaching to peasants and coal miners. And at first they kicked him out of the church. He was preaching in the church in such a way that they didn't like it either. Kicked him out of the church. Then they kicked him out of there. And guess where he came? To America. he had such it was a move of God before the Revolutionary War that he'd go out in a field and like 20, 30,000 people would come from other states. They heard he was coming and they would travel days to come hear him. And here he is in England, and the what do you call them, priest, Anglican priest or pastors? I don't know what you call them, but the Anglican guys, the leaders, assuming they knew God, maybe, I don't know. All disciples are believers in Jesus, but not all believers in Jesus are disciples. But even the disciples can tell another Christian to stop following God or stop approaching God. So we need to be careful with that, right? They did this, and this was a trip too, after he had said this, whoever receives one of these little children in my name, not just receives the kids, but receives them in my name, receives me. But notice the order. Chapter 9 comes before chapter 10. When they said, don't let those kids come. You know, he had already told them, kids are important. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus has time for you. He has time. If you're crying out to him, he'll have time for you. And you ever read the book of Judges? If you haven't, just read that. They cry out to him, and then he answers them. But then they go off their wayward way, and they get in trouble. But then they cry out to him. And I'm not talking about whining. Whining, crying out, that's different. Complaining, whining. But crying out, have mercy on me. Mercy is undeserved, right? Mercy is not getting the punishment you really should get. So blind Bartimaeus was basically saying, I deserve to be blind. And we had some friends, they had kids, and one of the kids was like, that's not fair. And the mom was like, you want fair? You know what fair is? And they were like, yeah, hell. Hell's fair. You know, we deserve hell, right? We deserve everything. You know, if we really want fair, that's what we deserve. So anything absent hell is mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. Like, approach God like that, not whining like I'm entitled to something. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? I know somebody who has mental health problems and they're probably, I'm pretty sure they're demonically inspired, some of the stuff he comes up with. And probably mental, some like chemical problems too. But the thought was maybe he likes fellowshipping with the demons. Like maybe he doesn't want to be healed. I don't know. Like it's possible. It's possible, like some of the things that he says. And so, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And many times when somebody gets healed, Jesus asks, do you want this, or what do you want? So faith would be to say, yes. Faith is actually a response to Jesus. Faith is not faith in faith. Faith is not, I think I can. It's not mind over matter. If I think hard enough, I'll be healed. It's what can Jesus do for me? And I'm responding to you. Like, have mercy on me, something I don't deserve. And if you don't give it to me, I didn't deserve it anyway. But have mercy on me, and I'll wait. And for sure, the sure mercies of David, the heaven, the eternal life that we have as believers, there is a healing coming. And he paid for it on the cross. But so many times he asked what you want. Do you want to be healed? And I think too, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Like, to have that attitude, like, I can't heal myself. I don't have anything to offer. In the movie, George Whitfield, he fasted like 40 days, was locked in his room, didn't take a bath. And his roommates were like, you got to do something. And he was like, I'm clinging to God, or something like that. I'm going to move the hand of God. And his roommate, which was John Wesley, I think, he says, God's already moved. He's already gone to the cross. He's already done it. You have to receive it. You know, so in one sense, there is that fasting is good and praying is good and obedience is good, but it's God that moves. It's God that does the work, and God did it. We have to receive, not move like we move, but not, we can't do anything. We can't do it. And I want to be healed of my flesh. Everybody who wants to be healed of your flesh, raise your hands. Well, I can tell you, it's coming. The answer is, you are already healed, right? In one sense, you're perfect, right? And how do I enter into that? How do I receive that healing? By faith, right? And we want it. We have to realize he already did it, and we can actually walk in it. And that's actually when we're experiencing the healing of our flesh, when we're walking by faith. And what Jesus did, when I heard it was Jesus, when I heard it, I sensed this presence. All of a sudden, I'm looking at Jesus, and it's like, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't fix yourself. You can't fix your flesh. You can't heal yourself. You can't heal your body either. Look at Jesus. Trust Jesus. And God respects our free will too. Salvation, right? And ultimate healing from the sickness of death. God doesn't force us to be saved. He told the woman at the well, if you knew who was talking to you, if you knew, you would ask for the living water that comes into eternal life. If you only knew, right? So, like, to hear that, to hear, like, blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Have mercy on me, David, son of David. Did blind Bartimaeus know that Jesus would heal him? Probably not, but he had heard enough. He believed enough to ask for it. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And obviously, not faith in faith, but faith in Jesus, right? But it does say, your faith has made you well. Right? It's a message for another day that, like, why doesn't God heal all the sick people, right? There's lots of reasons for that. Some of it. His answers are sometimes yes, sometimes no, and sometimes wait. And obviously with all believers, when we ask for physical healing, if it's not yes, it's wait, because we will be healed one day, right? go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So when you receive your sight, and I'm analogizing this to spiritual sight too, like, this is Jesus. When you receive your sight and you see him for who he really is, if you had known who I was, you would have asked me for the living water. When you receive your sight, you'll follow him. He had heard of others being healed. He believed enough to make a fool of himself. Even when others told him to be quiet, he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I was thinking of that too. We're plagued with our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our flesh is sick. The whole head is sick. In my flesh dwells no good thing, right? We're sick. Like every one of us should be crying out to God, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when we see him for who he really is, then we realize he's dealt with it at the cross. And we follow him. We follow him. And I was thinking too, like, we can't say that God will heal everyone. And that if someone doesn't get healed, it's because they didn't have enough faith. Right? Because there's examples of that too. We can't say that. But because we can't say that, a lot of times we downplay faith. Because we don't want to be like, "Well, if I say if you have enough faith, you'll be healed," then people are going to think if they're not healed, it's because they didn't have faith. And I don't want them to think that, you know. But what does the Bible say? Like, this is the message. The Bible says he was healed because of his faith. And Mark 6:4-6, then Jesus said to them, this is talking about Jesus goes to Nazareth where he was raised. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." That's familiarity. Now, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Usually there were masses getting healed. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Why only a few people? Why no mighty works? Because of their unbelief. So keep that in mind too. And then the woman with the flow of blood. If you don't know these stories, just write the verses down. Go home and read them. And if you forget some of the details, go read them again too. Refresh your mind. It's good. Mark 5:27-32. There was a woman with the flow of blood. She had spent all her money for years and years and years, could not get well, and she heard about Jesus. She heard. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Having ears to hear. Do we have ears to hear? Sometimes we don't hear. Anybody ever experienced that? Or is it just me? Sometimes you like read the Bible and you won't know a thing you said. God didn't say anything to you. You're not listening. You know, sometimes you have to do a spiritual check. And it's not just intellectual concentration either. Maybe you're analyzing and you're not listening. And sometimes, you know, having ears to hear, they didn't hear. But like, we need to spiritually listen, to listen for the voice of God and to hear whatever he has to tell us. But the woman, fearing and trembling, so she touches him, she heals him. He said, "Who touched me?" Knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Why did he heal her? Her faith. That's, isn't that what it says? That's why he healed her. Her faith. And the subject today is not why God chooses not to heal, right? That's for another day. And we can meditate. We've gone through that on Thursday nights a couple times. But he heals some because of their desire to be healed and their faith. that Jesus could heal them. And it's not a faith of assent, like demons believe and tremble, but a faith that he might, if he would, if you would, Lord. And he certainly can. And Jesus said to Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Have you heard? They told Thomas he's risen from the dead, right? But he didn't hear. Have you heard? Have you heard that God can heal? Have you heard that Jesus is risen from the dead? With ears to hear, have you heard? How about, I was thinking of this, in today's society, we have as much emotional, and I think there's a lot going on, there's a lot of noise in the atmosphere, a lot going on that maybe, like, if you get out in the country and leave your cell phone, and it's there's a little more peace, right? But I'm not sure why, but I think more so today than when I was a kid, and that makes me think more so than back in the days when they didn't have any industrial stuff like Jesus's days. But I think there's more emotional problems or mental problems that we have. And it's we need healing, right? We need healing of that. How about bitterness? Is that something we need healing? Like of rooted, like sin problems that we have? We need healing to that. Fear, jealousy, and any number of things, right? Any number of things. And have you heard that Jesus has a sword coming out of his mouth? Have we heard that? Do you want to be convicted? Do you want to be cut, operated on? Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know me. See if there is any wicked way in me. Can you say that prayer? Do you want to say that prayer? Sometimes we don't want to say that prayer. Like, we realize the problem, but we don't want to say that prayer because we realize the problem and we like fellowshipping with darkness, right? But God has a sword coming out of his mouth. And if we have ears to hear, we can hear, because that's the word of God, right? Are you listening? Jesus can heal you. And do you want him to? Or some people take pleasure in their bitterness. Some people take pleasure in their victimhood. There's a certain distorted, like, thing going on there. And all of our sin was nailed to the cross. And we receive it. How? How do we receive the healing? By faith. We trust him. That his word is better. That his way is better. That he is higher. What is it? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. And he's got a plan for his purpose. He's got a purpose that's higher. The man let down through the roof, Mark 2. If you don't know that story, go read it. But they let this paralyzed man down through the roof. They dug a hole in the roof. And crazy, desperate. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And he says, take up your bed and walk. So we have individual faith, right? We have faith of a group here in Mark 2. So that could be our church, right? We have geographical faith like Nazareth. That could be Culpeper. And then here's another one, faith by proxy. A couple of the conferences, they've asked pastors to get oil. They provide oil, and then they tell the pastors to go to the sides, and anybody who needs prayer can go get prayer. And they say, and also, if you want to go on behalf of somebody else who's not here, go forward and be anointed with oil by the elders and get prayer. And I was scratching my head. I was like, is that biblical? You know, it says like in James 5:7, you know, you go to the elders, and this is the biblical reason for it. This is the story of the centurion. Do you, anybody know that story? That he had a servant who was sick. And he came to Jesus and he said, "Please heal my servant." And Jesus said to him, he said, "I'll come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority." And then he said, "If I tell somebody to go do something, they do it. And I know how it works." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Wow. It's amazing, right? His faith for somebody else. So your faith could heal somebody else, right? And I was just thinking, like, to repeat all this about maybe different reasons why God doesn't heal. But when God does heal, a great reason is our faith. And aside from that, like, we've received Christ and we saw him for who he is. We saw him and we see him high and lifted up. Stephen, like, saw him high and lifted up. And I was listening to this song this morning. Regardless of whether we're healed here or there, right? We worship you for who you are. I was listening to this song. It's an old song. I don't know. How old is that? 70s, 80s, I don't know. You know, we worship you. I can't sing it. For who you are. Anyway, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's, you know, think of all the attributes of God. Think of all his great attributes and who he is, and that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Think of how his attribute of love, how much he loves you. And he's prepared a place for you. And he's coming again, and we're going to go there with him. Just think of all this. We worship you for who you are. And yeah, we live in this fallen world, but Christ has died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing. He is risen from the dead. And this isn't the end of the story. And we walk by faith, not by sight. We trust God. We trust God for every little thing. We worship you for who you are. The ultimate sickness is death. The ultimate sickness is death. And that has the same prescription, really. If anybody has not ever been cured of death, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, that's it, to believe, right? To believe and you shall be saved. Put your faith in Jesus, that he paid for your sins on the cross. And it's our ultimate healing. By his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. And I think of my grandfather who had got shot in the legs with a full load of birdshot from 4 foot away, and his legs were like bent like this, and he was walking first with braces and crutches, and he's in a wheelchair when he was older, you know, so you can physically see. And when he died, like, just the vision of the resurrection, like, when Christ comes and he gets a new body, like, just, it's amazing. It's amazing just to think about. And this lady, Holly, who just shriveled up to nothing with dementia over years and years and years. And she has the mind of Christ. And she knows, as she is also known, you know, like, wow. And in the end of Revelation there, talks about no more crying, no more death, no more sickness, no more sin. And it's like, my hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Like, we just, Jesus is the answer, and he is our hope and the ultimate healing. And we trust him. We believe in him. And, so that's the message. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless the prayer time and the last song and Legion and I's trip, that we won't run into traffic on the way up there. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up, David.